Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on. Today on the 10 Adventures podcast, we're talking about one of the world's most famous trekking destinations, Cuzco, Peru. With us to share more about this incredible destination is Frank Jara, a local guide at Valencia Travel, a Cuzco-based adventure tour operator. Hi, Frank. How are you doing?
Hello, Richard. I'm doing well. So excited to talk about my country and my city.
I'm excited to hear about this. I have been in Cuzco. I've explored around, but I never went trekking around Cuzco. So I'm excited to learn more because I always, you know, wanted to go back and go trekking. Before we talk about the trekking, for people that don't know much about Peru and Cuzco, can you tell us a little bit more about this, about where Cuzco is in Peru?
Yes, for sure. Cuzco, first of all, is my hometown where I was born and raised. So it is nowadays is the former capital city of the Incas, a culture that was developed in the south part of Americas, in South America. We are a city that is located in the south of Peru, no? We have a population of approximately 500,000 people living nowadays, and it's located in between the Andes, no? So nowadays we can say that Cuzco is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the Americas, and for sure is a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Yeah, one thing I found when I was in Cuzco is for a trekking kind of town, it is incredible just the historical architecture and the location and all the stuff you can do around in day trips, where it has to be one of the prettiest kind of trekking, you know, cities to be based in the world. Can you talk a little bit more about like the historical, you know, the Inca Empire? What can you see around Cuzco from, you know, artifacts from that great civilization?
Yes, for sure. Just talking about Cuzco, we have a lot of history behind, you know, it's the city, like I was mentioning, there is a culture that was developed on this area called the Incas culture, no? So they start this big empire since the early 1200s, no? Until the time that the Spaniard came on 1532. During this time, we have a lot of big things that were going on this city. We have Cuzco as the capital, as the most important city at that time, was one of the most beautiful ones and the ones that was in charge of the administration of the whole territory. So as a result, we have a lot of Inca temples in the surroundings of the area, or what we call nowadays the historical center of the city. So once you are walking around the city, once you're walking around the city center of Cuzco, you will be able to see original Inca walls, original Inca foundations. Of course, nowadays we have a lot of mix between the culture that came with the Spaniards, and you can see colonial houses with beautiful balconies, terracotta roofs, itself to walk around the city and the town, no? These very nice and near roads to do this stunning places to walk are kind of interesting, and people love it so much. Just go at the main square, the plaza, and enjoy a coffee and talk with the local. It's kind of interesting, and you little by little can feel the magic of this place, no? So Quechua is our native language. So we can say Cuzco. Cuzco is a Quechua word that means a lot for us. If we translate the word, we'll be the navel of the world. So Cuzco is the center of the world, one of the most important Inca cities that we have. And nowadays, it became the capital of the culture and its patrimony for us.
You mentioned the main square in Cuzco, and I remember just sitting there drinking coffee or, you know, drinking a beer as the sun set. And it's just, you know, just great, great memories. People often come to Cuzco for the trekking. And everyone knows or has heard about the Inca Trail, but what are some other treks that are popular in and around Cuzco?
Yes. So for sure, Inca Trail is one of the most popular ones because this one finished, no, at the Citadel of Machu Picchu, no, one of the places to visit, no, when you come to Peru and to visit Cuzco. But let me tell you that there are other other tours that are interesting that show us different things. People that like landscape, people that like the hikes, people that likes to enjoy the culture of local communities, no? Living with them, they're sharing part of our culture. So we can talk a little bit about one of my favorite ones, no? That will be like the one that have the nicest views, no? Snow Cave Mountains, that will be Salkantay Trek. So that is one of my favorite ones. So Salkantay Trek, we have another one that is called the Ausangate Trek. We have other one that is one of my faves too, that is called the Ladder Trek. No, where while you're walking, doing this ladder trek, you're able to walk with packs of llamas on the side. You have the view of very nice lakes and the highlands, and for sure be in contact with these farms, with these animals and local people. No, farmers with the llamas is kind of interesting for us because people love it, no? In general, hikers and trekkers, they love this. And for sure, we have another one that is called Choquequirao Trek, a trek that takes about 4 days. And the thing is, like, after 2 days hiking, you made it to one beautiful archaeological site that is Choquequirao. In my modest opinion, it's second most beautiful after Machu Picchu. So it's a huge complex that have agricultural terraces, original Inca buildings, and the hike itself. You sometimes, while you're walking through this nice sort of range mountain of Apurimac, you are able to see some condors flying, vulture rifles. It helps with the magic to this place.
I'm just envisioning, you know, these treks stuck in Canada before, you know, just as travel's reopening. I just would just love to be trekking right now. I want to talk a little bit more about each of them. And I want to start with the Ladas trek, because you mentioned the llamas. And when I was in Bolivia trekking, I remember once, for some reason, we could not get donkeys. You know, we were on, you know, way up in kind of the middle of nowhere. And all we could get was llamas to carry all of our gear, and they can only carry, you know, 15 or 20 pounds. And so we trekked for, you know, a week or 10 days with like 20 llamas, and it was just so cool to have, you know, these llamas around us. It really, you know, they're really just kind of cute and beautiful animals. But can you tell me a little bit more about the Ladas trek, kind of the details? Like, is this a high altitude trek? Is it super hard or long? Or, you know, what are kind of the basics of this trek?
Oh, for sure. Yes, talking about Ladas trek. So this trek, pretty much the day starts in Cusco, no? Like all the tours that we have in the for adventure, and we go by car to a town that is called Ladas. No, in this town of Ladas, we are gonna start the tour in a very nice place. I think it's a good way to start the tour because we're gonna start in a hot springs.
I like this one already.
So hot springs. So we have a very nice breakfast, no? That our cooker prepared a sort of a picnic for us, no? And we start a pretty nice relaxing morning in this hot springs, and then we start the hike, no? Going to pass to a very nice walk, and we visit one very nice town that is called Huacahuasi, no? After like 2 hours walking, no? We're gonna walk to the settlement that is called Huacahuasi. On this place, we usually like to, I always tell my travelers, okay, we're gonna have lunch here. And one of the locals always offered to us his backyard. So we are in contact with local people. The ladies are weaving. And for sure, they have a pack of some llamas right next to it, no? So we can say that this hike, Ladas trek, is kind of moderate. No, it's not like very high level. And second day, we're going to reach a pass that is over 4,260 meters above sea level, which is like 13,092 feet, no? Which is a pass between two snow cape mountains called Sawasirai and Pitusirai. So you are, when you are on this pass, you are able to touch these snow caps with your hands. You know, it's like amazing view, and it's like you are there. No, of course, the elevation, you feel a little bit cold. I know for you, Canada is not cold, but we can feel it in Peru, and travelers are not used to this, but it's kind of interesting. After we do this pass, we go down, we see a very nice lake, no, like Mantanay. So this Mantanay Lake gives people, give travelers a nice view of the area, of the highland. Llamas can only carry like 30 kilos, right?
Oh, is it that much? Because when we did it, I think we had a maximum of 20 pounds. So I know with donkeys, they can carry a ton. And so we just had little bags on each, and that's why we needed so many. But I'll be honest, our guides did not know how to handle the llamas. So I'm not surprised they got it wrong.
Yeah. So if you put an extra kilo on the llama is going to lay down and it's not going to move. And they are so smart. No. So continue our trek. So we're going to pass through a natural private reserve that we have there that protects one native tree that is called the Keunya. No? Keunya is a sort of scientific name, is Polylepis incana. This is a native tree that grows over 2,500 to 3,000 meters. No? And let me tell you that to see this sort of forest of these native trees gives a special charm to the walk. Last day, we're going to finish in one town of the Sacred Valley called Yanawara, no? Where we have our nice lunch, we enjoy the day, just relax, you know. Elevation is lower, so we should be there around 2,400 to 2,800 meters, no? Which is like 8,000 to 9,000 feet. And then after that, we go, we take our train, and we're going to Machu Picchu. So 3 days walking, and day four, we have a full day to enjoy Machu Picchu.
And then on the last track, do people stay in tents, or are there guest houses, or do they stay with families?
Our campings are, we always use tents, no? So to transport all the equipment, to take all of our food, no? Our cooker, we have a horseman, no? With an assistant. So they carry all of that, no, using mules, donkeys, and some llamas. Sometimes they use it, no, for tourists.
Now on the, I think you said the first or the second day, you get to 4,260 meters. Obviously, that's, you know, high elevation, especially for most of us that come, you know, from lower elevations. I know when I was in Cusco, Cusco itself is pretty high. It's around 3,400 meters. Do you recommend people spend a couple days in Cusco acclimatizing before they start the Lares trek?
Yes, for sure. That would be the best recommendation. Always, once you landed in Cusco, give them 1 or 2 days to rest. No, so for sure, if you're not staying in Cusco, another good place to rest will be the Sacred Valley too. That is a little bit lower than Cusco, no? 2,400, 2,200. So that's the elevation that we have in the Sacred Valley. And some travelers, they prefer to go straight to the valley, rest for a couple of days, and then they do the hike, or Cusco is the best. No? Also, drinking a lot of water, you know, it's a good recommendation. You have to keep rehydrating. And we have part of our secrets here in the highlands in Cusco. It is the famous coca tea, the coca tea. You should drink some. No, boiled water, we mix it with coca leaves.
Don't take the coca tea with you back to Canada or the US though, because I don't think it'll get through customs.
Another thing is, don't drink it at night, because it will keep you awake, and you at least you want to have party or
There is so much to do around Cusco that, you know, it's easy to spend a few days just going to see all the ancient ruins and just enjoy it. Again, it's a beautiful place to be. I'm also interested in Salkantay. You mentioned it's a trek with, you know, really high, beautiful mountains. Can you maybe give a bit of a background about what that trek is?
Yes. Let me tell you that Salkantay trek will be a little bit different than Larix. Salkantay trek is, we consider the activity level for this one will be high, no? Will be high. It is a little bit more demanding. It is for experienced trekkers, no? And usually doing this Salkantay trek will take us approximately 4 days hike. But as usual, no, day one, we go from Cusco, no, after an early morning, no? So for the hikes, we are early birds, so we go for early mornings around 4-5 a.m. is when usually start the day. We have a ride for about 4 hours. We go to this beautiful place that is called Mollepata, and then we start the hike in one point that is called Soray Pampa. Now, once you start the hike in this little town called Soray Pampa, you're going to be approximately 3,700 meters above sea level. So that's the place where we start the hike. Then we have beautiful views of this snow cave mountain. You know that Salkantay is over 6,260 meters above sea level. So one of the paths that we reach, no, to be close by to this mountain is gonna be pretty much close by to 4,650 meters. So it's like, that is high. No, it's the pass. So, but from those pass, you're pretty much since day 1, 2, and 3, you are walking around this beautiful snow cave mountain called Salkantay, no? So we sleep again in tents. We have our specialists. No, I like to call them chefs because they do amazing things on our campsites. We use horsemen too, no, with mules and donkeys to transport all the equipment. And for sure, the landscape is amazing. A little bit cold sometimes because of the elevation. And during the day, it's quite nice, no, just to be right next to the mountains and with the view on the back of this snow cave mountain that is called Salkantay. And for sure, you have amazing photos, people that like photography, scenery, and just relaxing, disconnect themselves is kind of the place to be, no, walking. Also, not just to mention, the 3 and 4 is like heading down. And let me tell you that on day 3, we reach what we call the cloud forest. So day 3 of the hike, we're going to be getting lower in elevation. So one of our campsites called Chayacancha is 2,600 meters approximately. And this place we're cloud forest, so everything turns green, no? And because we're getting closer to Machu Picchu. So day 4, we visit one very nice archaeological site, small, called Llactapata. It's like this, the little town with terraces. It's quite beautiful. And then we finish our hike in one place called it's a train station where the hydroelectric is located, no? The power station of Machu Picchu is located there. And then the next day we go from there and in the afternoon we go from the power station to Machu Picchu to the town of Aguascalientes town. You might remember that little touristic town, no? Or Aguascalientes or Hot Springs town. And then next day we have a full day tour in Machu Picchu, no? So this is one of the nicest treks that we have too, no? And it's becoming very popular. And for sure, not to be in this elevation is a little bit challenging for travelers, by little, chewing some coca leaves and forgetting about the elevation and enjoying the scenery for sure. At the end, it's enjoyable, no? And it's challenging sometimes, no? Especially day 2 is a little bit challenging for travelers, no? But at the end, you can do it.
We've talked twice about, you know, ending up at Machu Picchu. Let's talk about Inca Trail. You know, I think this is, you know, probably maybe after Everest Base Camp, probably the second best known trek on Earth. It might even be more well known than Everest Base Camp, where Everest Base Camp has beautiful views. Inca Trail combines beautiful views with obviously all the history. A lot of people just take the train from Aguascalientes up to the Inca Trail. But if you want to walk it, you know, what's that trail like?
Oh, I've been doing that trail many, many times. Every single time I do it, I am part of the, I like to contact with the nature. I like to contact with people. And for sure, no, it's one of my faves, let me tell you. And the Inca Trail, the experience, one thing that you should do once in a lifetime. If you love hike, if you love trek around the world, that's the place you should come. Day 1, we start again from Cusco or the Sacred Valley. We go to the kilometer 82. No, that is the kilometer 82. We said is where the rail line goes. No, the people that take the trains, they will take the train. And the kilometer 82 of the railway is where we start our hike. No, it's in a little town called Piscacucho. Of course, you know, for the Inca Trail, we need special permits. No, we need to book in advance, no, with the Minister of Culture, with the Minister of Environment. No, later we can talk about it. But at the beginning, we start in this checkpoint of the kilometer 82, and the elevation there is around 2,600 meters above sea level. And we're gonna go all the way to the mountain. So at the half day in the morning, we're going to be walking right next to the Vilcamayo River, or Vilcanota, or we call it the Sacred River, that it comes from the Sacred Valley. And we go to one of our campsites that is called Ayapata. No? That campsite will be about 3,350 meters. I like to call the day one like the training day, no? Because it's the day that where the hikers will start feeling their pace, no? They see the adventure. And this day, we pass through little communities. One of these towns is called Llactapata, no? Mizcay. And in this place, you are able to be in contact with local people, how they live, how they are. And for this hike, we use our friends, the porters. No? Our friends, the porters, I like to call the chaskis because they are runners, but our friend, the porters, are the ones that are going to carry in their bags all the equipment that we're going to need for the hike. No, they can carry with them only 25 kilos, no, because of the regulations of the laws that we have.
That's still very, like, that's still 25 kilos is a very heavy pack. So yes, yes. I wouldn't say only 25 kilos. They're working hard, especially when it gets up high.
Yeah, it's a heavy pack. And for sure, I like to ask the hikers, do you want to do the porter's challenge? And they put one of these heavy backpacks on their backs and they feel it, no? What our friends are carrying. See, also, depending on how many hikers we have, so the company works with number of porters for this hike, and for sure they are very friendly, they are happy, they're always running all the time. But like I mentioned, day one is like a training day. No, day one is like when you walk into this community, you see the ladies selling. You hear about chicha, this fermented corn beer?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So these ladies on these little stuffs are selling this chicha to the porters because they like to drink something. No, what they're going. So it's more a refreshing drink. It's not like to get drunk. But porters drink that to relax and keep walking. And this day, no day one, we're able to see one of my favorite places in this hike that is called Llactapata. No, Llactapata is a little town with terraces. And we have the chance doing these hikes to see this place from a lookout point that is over a mountain. And once you're walking, suddenly in front of you appears this very nice. They're very nice archaeological terraces, and everybody's like, wow, day one, and we already see this. And I told them, no, oh, we're in Machu Picchu already. And they are, no, almost there. But imagine, if day one, you can see this archaeological site, what you're going to expect next days, no? And we continue, no? Our campsite is in 3,350 meters above sea level. And then day two, we like to call it the challenge day. No, because this day, we're going to reach the highest point, the highest elevation, and this is going to be in a pass that is called the Dead Woman Pass. Now, the elevation of this pass, of Dead Woman Pass, it is approximately 4,200 meters above sea level. So this is for day two, and it's approximately 4 hours, 4 hours, 30 minutes uphill. So we made it to this pass, and then we go down to Pacaymayo. That is a very nice campsite that we have, no? And this day, we're going to be walking through what it is, the original Inca trail. So what it was left by Quechua people, it was left by the Inca, is still there. So you are like, Fran, it's amazing. So many steps, Quechua did it. And since those times, in ancient times, they're still there. So beautiful photos, beautiful landscapes, the view from this pass. If you don't have a cloudy day, for sure, you have a nice view. And they call it the Dead Woman Pass because when you see on the range mountain that is in front of us, you can see a woman that is laying down, like resting. So they call it the Dead Woman Pass. No? So quite nice. Day two, no, we have our tents. And day three, we have a second pass. And it's like more a cultural day. No? So while we're walking, since we reach this elevation, we go to our campsite that is located in approximately 3,600 meters, no, where we have our lunch in a place called Chaquicocha. No, we have the view to different sites like Sayagmarca, Huiña y Huayna, which is one of my faves too. It's a town right next to the mountain with a lot of terraces, with a lot of storage rooms, no. And also for the last day or day three, we have a nice stop where I always like to relax with my hikers in a place called Intipata. Well, this is Inti means sun, Pata means terraces, the terraces of the sun. You know, the sun was one of the main gods that the Incas have. And from this point, you have a nice view of the valley. So people just like to relax, meditate, do some yoga, because you are almost there. So our last campsite, no? Almost there. No, Wiñaywaina is going to be at 2,700 meters. But day three, we are almost on what it is, cloud forest, because we're getting closer to Machu Picchu. Day four, early morning, we pass through the gate. We walk for about 1 hour, 45 minutes, and you are at the sun gate. If you have a nice view of the sun gate, you have the view of the whole citadel of Machu Picchu, and a full day tour there, and mission accomplished, no? You did it. So it's one of the most beautiful moments once you made it to this sun gate called the Inti Punku, no? It's our Quechua language, and all the tourists, all the travelers says, Frank, we made it, time to relax, go back to Aguascalientes. It's time for a good shower and some beers for sure, no? Celebrate because you made it to Machu Picchu.
One thing that's great about Machu Picchu or the Inca Trail is, although you go high during the day, you sleep actually quite low. So, you know, although it's tough when you're going up, you know, the altitude risk is pretty low, because I think the highest you sleep is 3,000 or 3,300 meters, which if you're coming from sea level, it makes it a really nice trek. Now, you mentioned one thing about permits, and I know this is something that it's really highly controlled. How hard is it to get a permit to hike the Inca Trail?
Yes. So, you know, we always have to talk when you decide to travel, not when you know when you're going to go to Machu Picchu to do this hike. That's when you should book. Because as soon as you do the booking or the reservation with the company, we have to check about the permits that are online in the webpage of the Minister of Culture and the Minister of Environment. And let me tell you that sometimes, no, you know by the news that the permits are available from October 11. They just start with the permits, and these permits are going for next year, no? So I'm telling you about 2022. And there are some months, like our high season, that are the months of May, June, July, August. Some of the days are already without the space.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. The permits have only been available for 2 weeks, and already there are dates in 2022 that are sold out. It is just so popular, and so it's just one of those treks. It's like the Tour de Mont Blanc in France. When you know you want to do it, get booking, because the Tour de Mont Blanc, if you want to go in the summer, it's usually booked up, you know, 6 or 7 months in advance, because it's just so popular and there's so few places to stay.
So the Inca Trail is like that. We are still able to manage that, no? So sometimes you check one day, we can do it 1 day ahead, 1 week ahead. So we can work on that. So you know that per day, there are 500 spaces available. But the thing is, this 500 is not just the hikers. It's not just the trekkers. So it is going to be all the travelers, all the people that are going into the hike. I mean, that will be plus the tour guides, plus our friends, supporters, and always, no, the numbers are going like down, down, down all the time. And sometimes, no, there are travelers that couldn't make it time. So they have to change for another date, to change for the next date. So it's quite hard. It's very popular, but for sure at the end, if you made it, if you go and do the hike, you will enjoy it.
And really good advice. Get your Inca Trail permits before you book your flights, because you're right. You know, the dates you want may not be there, but go in 3 or 4 days earlier or a week later. You know, if you're flexible, you can usually find something. There's two more hikes, treks we haven't talked about, Ossangate and Chocaquero. Let's talk about Ossangate, because this one, from what I understand, goes past the famous Rainbow Mountain.
Yes. You know, Rainbow Mountain is getting popular. Seems like it's like an attraction that a lot of hikers wanna go, because you know the photos, Instagram made it popular, no, the social media. But the thing is that with this Ossangate, not talking first about Ossangate, this hike. Just to mention that this is kind of a longer trail, not that we do. It usually take us 6 days walking, and we can say that for this hike, is considered, the activity level is considered between high and very high. No, so this should be recommended, should be done for experienced travelers. So we're gonna have like these days busy working, doing pass, and our camps are located in a big elevations, and for sure, not the experience itself to walk to the Andes is quite nice. So day one, we go from Cusco, we have a long drive going to the south part of the city, no? So we visit, we start in one very nice little community, little town over there that is called Upis, no? Where we set up all our staff to walk, we give all our equipment to the horseman, and we start the hike, no? So in this point, you're gonna be walking, you're gonna pass through certain points that have the elevation of 4,350 meters, no? So that's where the town of Upis is, the elevation that is located, and where we start. So on day one, you're gonna be walking from this community town, you're gonna pass through one area where you have the view of this mountain that is called Ausangate, no? And you reach another pass that is approximately 5,000 meters above sea level, no? So it's called the Vilcanota Range Mountain. So in that area, we have very nice snow peaks and glaciers. And the highest point during this hike, you're gonna be at that elevation. So you have to be very well prepared for this hike. You have to take always, no, your time to keep a good pace and enjoy that, no? Also, don't retreat, you continue your wake, you walk Ausangate Adventure, no? We start from one mountain, other mountain pass that is called Palomani, no? That is 5,130 meters, no? So this is one of the highest pass that we have on day three, no? So you reach the pass and you are right there next to the mountain. Then you go down from Hanampata, that is another very nice town, to Ninaparayo. And that is the interesting thing. After this, while you're doing your hike, you made it all the way to the Rainbow Mountain. So it's like the Rainbow Mountain, the place where travelers like to take the photos, is located at 5,200 meters above sea level. And it's like you, on that day, you made it to that point. You take your photo with that. Of course, nowadays it's like a little bit crowded with people. But for us that we do the hike, I like to go with my hikers always early in the morning, so we can make it before everybody, all the people that comes to Cusco made it. And you have the photo of the Rainbow Mountain, and then you continue your walk. You pass through what we call the Red Valley. It's a valley like full with red color, and it's quite interesting to walk around that area. And then at the end, after you visit the Rainbow Mountain and all of that, you continue your way to one place where it's gonna be the finish of our hike on day six, in a place called Pachanta. No, it's where the trail ends. It's a little bit town, no? People live there in like little communities. There are farmers mostly. They raise their llamas, they raise their alpacas, no? It's like in their backyard, they have a pack of llamas, pack of alpacas. And we finish there, we take some photos, and then we go by car back to Cusco, the Sacred Valley. And then last day, we are going to Machu Picchu by train, right? So this is one of the most challenging ones because of the elevation that we reach during the hike.
Yeah. This is one where you're at high, you're above 4,000 meters for virtually the entire time. So it's one where definitely, plan to get acclimatized before you start this, because just going straight to fourth, if you land in Cusco and spend a day and the next day you're doing this, it's going to be, probably a trip you'll have to turn back on, because just going from where you live to Cusco at 3,400 meters, spending a day there, then going to over 4,000 meters, it can be really difficult. But I know all the photos I see of this trek, they're just stunning. You're up high. It just seems really wild and beautiful. It seems just like a spectacular trek if you like the high mountains.
Photos are the best. No, if we have a very nice, cold night, but a clear sky, you are able to see the Milky Way. And for people that just like to have a coffee and take some photos. There are travelers that like these photos, photo shoot at night, so you're able to see the Milky Way. Of course, no lights there. And also there are beautiful lakes there where you just can relax. And for sure in general, no, if you do the Ausangate, you are an Iron Man. You can do whatever you want around the mountains of Cusco. And most of the travelers and guides that we do this, we like respect. Hashtag respect to these hikers, because they know what they do. And sometimes it happens to me. No, let me tell you something that happened before COVID, like 2 years ago when I was doing this Ausangate, right? We were like, oh, having our campsite, no? And then at night, I hear like snow was coming. And then early in the morning, all our campsite was covering white. So you will be like, oh, it's cold, but at the same time, so amazing to see all this view of your campsite. So you are like connected with the mountain, with the snow capped mountain of Ausangati, and all of that was white, and it was like I have one of the most beautiful photos of this mountain that day. And for sure, no, just stay there and you knock your tent and snow is coming down, and it's like quite cool experience.
Yeah, definitely. I know lots of people think, oh, I'm going to Peru. It's, you know, it's a warm country. I'm not going to carry, you know, my warm coat, but take your super winter down coat, because when you're at altitude, it's definitely chilly. So we left for last, Choqquequirau. Let's talk a little bit about that one.
Oh, Choqquequirau. Choqquequirau is like another alternative walk, no? Another very interesting trekking that we have in Cusco, no? And let me tell you that Choqquequirau is an experience of a 4 days hike. 4 days hike. Again, we start in Cusco. We go from Cusco to the south part, no? To a little town that is called Cachora, no? And from Cachora, we continue, no? By car to this place called Capulichayo, no? Since day one, when you start walking from Capulichayo, you're going to reach an elevation approximately, no? When you go to this pass, to the range mountain of Apurimac, you're going to reach an elevation of 3,050 meters above sea level. No, not as high as Cusco, but let me tell you that this day, this hike will be one of the ones that is located in lower elevation, no, comparing with the other ones. So pretty much on day one, we passed to this range mountain of Apurimac, no, where you are able to see, no, what I was mentioning, this nice wild bird that is the condor, no, the vulture griffus, this beautiful bird flying. And on this valley, sometimes you're able to see this in this range mountain of Apurimac, this massive bird over 3 meters wide range, no, imagine from one wing to the other. So it's a big bear. And from there, with our hike. There, day one, we go up to this pass, then we go down, and we're going to make it to one point that is called Chiquisca. No, Chiquisca is like a sort of a campsite where we have lunch. No, it's usually close by to the river. No, we cross to one bridge, we continue heading up from Chiquisca. No, we're going to be, in this point, we're going to be in an elevation of about, let me tell you, 2,800 meters. So from this point, we go to Chiquisca. We continue walking to Chiquisca, no? And we're heading to what it is, the archaeological site of Choqquequirau, no? It's let me tell you that it's a little bit bigger than Machu Picchu itself. So it's quite big archaeological place, no, that is being restored from the last 10 years. It's been, I remember when I was in college, I went like 20 years ago there, and it was like all covered by the forest. But nowadays it's very well restored, very well clean. No, there are a lot of terraces and wildlife there too. No, once you are getting into this area that is part of the cloud forest, in the areas of the community of Santa Rosa or Marampata, no, you're able to see some bromelids, orchids, no, the typical forest from the cloud forest, no, you see some bamboo, no? So you visit the campsite, and our campsite is like very, very close by to the archaeological site. The elevation there is like 3,103 meters. We consider the activity level for this hike like hike, no? It's not that as difficult as our Sangate or Salcante, but it is still pretty much demanding. Day one and two were heading down, then uphill, then we do some downhills, we made it to the site, and then we come back by the same way that we go there. So it's 2 days to make it to Yogyakirao, and there's 2 days to return to the same place where we start. No, that is the area of Chiquisca. That is a 4 days hike. Then after we go back to the valley, we take our train and we go to Machu Picchu, no, on day five. So that's pretty much one of the hikes that we do. Is an alternative for Salcante or Sangate, Machu Picchu, you know, it's cultural. You visit one place, no, that is this nice archaeological site that like Inca temples there too. So they do have terracines, they do have Inca temples. And one of my favorite views is like in these terraces, Quechua people, they like use like sort of white stones and they make the design of llamas. So once you are there, you see the view of these terracines with sort of llamas, no, in the wall, made with stone, you're like, wow. No, why did it take this time to do this design on these terracines of llamas? So it's like very, very interesting to see that. And for sure, it's a good experience. And let me tell you that this is a hike that I was telling you that is like the one that we do 4 days. But there is other one that you can do it in 8 days. And you continue walking and you connect with part of the hike of Salcante and you made it to the hydroelectric. And you can make it to Machu Picchu too.
Oh, wow. So if you have a bit more time, you can make it even more incredible. You know, all five of these, it just makes me want to get on a plane and get down to Peru. But when's the best season to do these? You know, are they all kind of the same time of year? Or are there some you can do in some months or not others?
Yes. The thing with Peru is like Cusco, especially with my city, is like we like to call them, we have the what we call the dry season and the rainy season. We don't have winter, summer, spring, no. Our rainy season, no, is usually from November to March, and our dry season is from April to October. So the best time to come to do this hike, because you have a good weather, no, it's quite nice, quite not wet, should be during this time. So especially, no, the months of May, June, August, July are like the most popular months, the more popular times of the year that travelers come here, no, because at those days we have no rain, so people, travelers sometimes they don't like to walk when it's rainy, foggy, and cloudy.
Yeah. I hate walking in the rain, you know, especially when you're camping. You know, it's okay if it's one day out of a bunch, but when it's every day, it can get cold and tiring to be walking in the rain every day.
Yeah, it happens to me. Last week, I just finished an Inca trail to Machu Picchu, you know, and after 3 days, day four, we made it to the Sun Gate. We were right in front of Machu Picchu, and everything was foggy and cloudy. I was like,
oh no.
and my hikers were like, Fran. I was like, okay, believe me, Machu Picchu is there. So we went down for 45 minutes, and we at the moment that we were heading down, just halfway from the Sun Gate to the Citadel, it instantly cleared up. And they were like, wow.
Oh, wow, that's perfect.
So we still had the view, but sometimes it could happen, no? I'm not the Mother Nature, you know.
What a guide, though, Frank. You teased him, and then you got the clouds to clear? That is incredible.
I can tell you what it says, the forecast, but, you know, we cannot control the actual temperature or how it's going to be, right?
You know, Frank, again, this has been just so great to hear about these treks, to, you know, get kind of an insider's view of each of these routes, to learn more. You know, if you're, you know, a beginner trekker, there's trails. If you're a hardcore trekker that wants high altitude and remoteness, and there's options there. So I really appreciate, you know, you've taken all of these guidebooks and put them into 40 minutes for us. So thanks for being available and coming on the 10 Adventures podcast. I really appreciate it.
Richard, for me, it was a pleasure. I enjoyed this time too. And you're more than welcome. Remember, Peru, Cusco, and the mountains are waiting for you with our open arms. So you're going to have a good time as a result.
I can't wait. It's so high on my bucket list for when travel comes back. I'm going to put links to all the treks Frank discussed. And I urge people, just have a look at these, because really, when you see the photos, it's just really spectacular, you know, what these options are. And, you know, if you just want to do a week or 10 days, it's one of the few places in North America where you can kind of do a beautiful high altitude trek without needing to take 2 or 3 weeks off. So once again, Frank, thanks for being the podcast. It was a pleasure having you. And I look forward to, you know, connecting again, hopefully next time, sharing a beer in Cusco.
Yeah, for me, it was a pleasure. Thank you, Richard.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com, where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.